like to call the meeting of the Carson City Advisory Board to order. 4 p.m. Determination of a quorum. Tamar?
Chairperson Martin? I know you're here.
Present.
Vice Chair Zuber? Member Beamer?
Here.
Member Powell?
Here.
Member Yannick?
Here.
A quorum's present.
Thank you. Item number two, public comment. The public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Advisory Board to manage wildlife. Public comment at this time? Seeing none, move on to item number three. I did read the minutes, however, I was absent, as you all were aware. I don't have any comments, obviously, but those present, if you could bring forward a motion or ask for changes.
Move to approve, Mr. Chair.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any further comment? Call for the motion then. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. I was wondering from staff, any changes from staff tomorrow?
No, none from staff.
Thank you very much. And any from the board members? I will entertain a motion to approve.
Move to approve the agenda as written.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Moving on to item number five, disclosures. Any member of the advisory board may inform the chair of his intent to make a disclosure of a conflict of interest on an agendized item or relative to an advisory board business. Disclosures of conflicts of interest may also be made at the time this specific item comes up. Any conflicts of interest? Thank you very much. Seeing none, move on to item number six, update on the urban mule deer education program. I read the minutes, and thank you, Gil, for giving a good presentation on the last meeting. I only have one update, and then I'll open it up for other updates. Let the record note that Vice Chair Zuber is present. So I only have one update on the urban mule deer education program, and that is I did talk with Steve Lewis, the educator for our cooperative extension acting educator for Carson City and the educator for Douglas County. He is going to be publishing, I think he said 5,000 with the amount of money that we have. Cooperative extension is kicking in $250, and I got a verbal commitment from Carson City city manager that they would match that $250. So with that $500, he's pulled the trigger, and they're coming out with 5,000 trifold brochures. Then to refresh your memory, those 5,000 brochures, 4,000 of them are going to go through the go to the Carson City School District, and the superintendent of schools has made a commitment to get those into the K through 5 Peachy for take homes. The other 1,000 will be available for the city use for organizations, cooperative organizations, partner organizations, used for outreach. Further, I have made a commitment to make myself available to any group that would like to have a discussion on urban deer. So that's the only updates I have. Any other updates from board members?
So So, if I may, Mr. Chair, we had a, and this was a kind of a last minute thing. I didn't really realize we were going to be doing this, but we held a kind of an informal town hall meeting down at the Capitol. We had a we have a fairly sizable mule deer, urban mule deer population hanging out at the Capitol right now, and so it turned into kind of a helping educate people how to take pictures and how far distance to stay back from mule deer. There was one guy that was trying to take all of the yarn and stuff off of the buck that had that got into someone's Halloween decorations, and so that was a good education opportunity. But believe it or not, there's about 150 people that showed up for this, and so myself and a couple of other Endow volunteers had about an hour and a half long kind of educational session on how to interact with mule deer, and turned out to be very positive. And some of the groups, some of the folks that attended belonged to other groups, and they did say that they would like to have either somebody from the board or us come out and visit with their individual group on the matter. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. And don't forget, you can represent the board.
I did.
Thank you very much. Any other comments on that?
I do have a question, Mr. Chairman. Is that is an electronic copy of that trifold going to be available for the general public to access on that Carson City website?
The answer to that is yes. It about a month ago, a month and a half ago, it was on the CarsonCity.org website. I don't know if it's still on there or not, but it's something that we've asked them to post. And it is available through Cooperative Extension's website also.
Hey, Mr. Chair, if I could just reiterate that for Member Powell. I looked about a week and a half to 2 weeks ago, and it was still on there. So
it's still there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other comments on this topic, gentlemen? The one thing, it's education on mule deer is extremely important. Part of what we have to always understand is that mule deer are a wildlife in the state of Nevada. Wildlife are managed by the Department of Wildlife, and we cannot, in Carson City, tackle this issue by ourselves. We need to always be cognizant that NDOW, Nevada Department of Wildlife, is ultimately the management tool for mule deer in the city. So I just wanted to make sure we understand that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
At the commission meeting in Eureka, I kind of put the department on the spot because we had talked at our meeting about trying to get some commitment from the department to take a position on what we can count on them to do with regards to the growing deer population, not only here in Carson City, but I'm sure our neighboring counties are going to start experiencing the same problem if what happens here continues in Douglas County and up in Washoe County. And in several meetings that we've had with the department and the times that they have sent wardens or other department personnel to the scene of some of these issues, it's like they really weren't, it was like hands off. I mean, they would give us information. They were very helpful in giving us contacts and information about what other communities have done, but there really wasn't a statement of what position the department may or would take if this situation becomes bigger and bigger and somewhat out of control. So I think that if you or somebody else is going to be at the meeting this weekend, it would be nice to bring that up again to find out if a position has been taken or are they working on a position, just to let us know what we can look forward to.
I appreciate that comment, and it really goes into part of what we're going to be discussing next, but it's also part of a discussion I had with the director of the department. And I will say that the state of Utah has a very progressive urban wildlife program. When I discussed it with the director, the point that the director wanted me to understand is that they have funding in the state of Utah for urban wildlife management. This past legislature was the first time that they actually started creating in Nevada some funding for urban wildlife. So I'm sensitive to that, and I appreciate it, and it's certainly a message that I will continue giving to the department. If we're going to take it as an action to the department, then I will ask for a motion to do so. I will also tell you a conversation I had with Brian Wakeling, who I hope will come eventually to this meeting. He made a commitment to it for item number 8. The discussion was, what action does Carson City need right now? And I suggested to him what Carson City would really like right now is to understand and do a survey of the population and the dynamic of that population. And by that I mean, are they here only in the spring? Are they here only in the summer? Are they here year-round? Now, I know there are deer here year-round, and you do too, but are all of them here year-round, or are some of them migratory? That's a good question to ask. Another good question is, what is the total population at the height? How many fawns are being born here? How many bucks are here? Let's get a handle on the census. Then the next thing is going to be a biologic political question, and that is, what is the management objective size? How many deer, mule deer, should we, could we, shall we have within the city limits? And those two questions are down the road. First of all, how many do we have? And then what's the issue? And then what do we do about them? And then when you get to the point where we have too many, then the department really needs to step up and say, here's options for management. So those are all great points, and I'd be happy to entertain any motions to take to this particular meeting, or we can just continue having these conversations with the director and the game director or division head.
Mr. Chairman, we were under the impression at one of the earlier meetings that the department was trying to gather population information, either by applying collars to some of the deer to find out where they're going. Are they coming down during the day, going back up into the hills at night, or are they all staying resident in the urban part of town? And I think most of us who have been aware of the population growth and kind of like keep an eye on what's going on and where it's going on, you know, we have our own opinions about where the population is. To make it scientific, yes, the department or group of people need to be able to take a census, and whether we post trail cams around town or we ask people to fill out a form for a 30-day period, let's say, so we can start taking some census of what's going on. I see them every morning, every evening, and I'm sure, you know, some of you guys do too. There's no question that, in my mind, the population is growing, far more than when it was 10 or 12, 15 years ago when I first moved up into Lakeview. And so, you know, I think we need to attack this problem head on and try to, if the department is willing to work with us, we're willing to, I mean, I know we won't have any trouble getting people to report what they see and keep a log so that it isn't just, yeah, I saw some the other day and some last month. But, you know, give them a form to fill out, the date of the sighting, how many did you see, males, females, you know, immature or mature animals, and let's get some data so that we can see what we're heading towards, and if that day ever comes where some management tactics need to be implemented, we'd have something to go on.
Thank you. I totally agree with you. I will respond to one thing you said, and that is that you understand that they're doing a population study and they're collaring deer. That's my understanding from my discussions with Mr. Lackey is that's part of a larger study on the interstate herd population in the 192-194 units. And because a component of that 192-194 unit is in Carson City, that it involved some deer in here. But my understanding from Mr. Lackey is that it's not a specific study on our urban deer. I would also want to have the Department of Wildlife assist us with what you suggested on how to do a census study. So I understand what you're saying, and I agree with it. So I think because it's such an interesting topic, I don't need to open up this to the public, but I will because I know the public is very concerned about it and interested in it. If there's any other board discussion, I'll keep it here at the board for a minute. Seeing none, I'll invite the public. Does anyone in the public have a desire to talk about the urban deer population at this time? Please state your name and...
I don't want you guys feeling alone.
C.K. Bailey, Carson City. It was very interesting on my way here this evening. I noticed a beautiful, mature lilac plant in my front yard was destroyed by something with antlers, and I would say that he was probably trying to clean them off from something. I seem to always bring up the food banks that seem to be coming up, new ones, feeding the hungry in northern Nevada, and there's literally thousands of people that could use this meat that is walking around Carson City. And I believe it's illegal to shoot, illegal to hunt in Carson City. Perhaps maybe that should be relooked at. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Other public comments? Please state your name.
Yes, for the record, Fred Volz. A couple of comments. First, there's some real concerns with the population estimate that NDAO's been doing on an ongoing basis of the bear population. Mr. Lackey, who is a department employee, as we all know, can't really come up with a sound estimate on the number of bears we have in the state. He's gone everywhere from between 400 and 700. So the population estimate that might be put together by just average citizens in Carson City, unless they have tremendous skills that the Wildlife Department doesn't have, would probably come up with a very suspect number. They wouldn't know whether they were looking at the same deer or not. So using that for any sort of strategy going forward would seem to be extremely imprudent. Secondly, I'd like to emphasize that killing deer doesn't keep the numbers down, and that seems to be the direction that might be approached by some of the folks involved with this issue. There will be a rebound effect, just as there is in the rest of nature. They want to survive just like human beings. You're going to have more. Having people with weapons, I don't care whether they're a bow and arrow or a gun, running around the city, shooting them off, it's a non-starter issue. Ask your sheriff. He's not going to be very happy about that. And to the point that Mr. Bailey was making a minute ago about gardens and shrubbery, there's a certain responsibility that we human beings have. If you don't want your gardens eaten, don't plant things that are attractive to deer. Or protect those plants if there's something that you really want to have in your garden. And so that's really where the first line is. If you don't have the food source, they're not going to be attracted here, and they will be conditioned to go elsewhere over time. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Please state your name.
Jim White. I kind of disagree. I think the people could do a great job of observation, whether they're hunters with the knowledge of the rack that they're looking at, or people that are birders. They're very, I think don't sell them short. I think the citizens could do a great job. People that walk a certain time every morning, they just, even if they had a little form, I think that's a great idea. They could just fill it out. And I think they could get some good information from that. Also, the urban population, I've seen a couple of times now, near accidents, traffic accidents, people swerving. So it is definitely, it's a safety concern also, not just for the deer themselves, but also for the citizens of Carson. I don't know if we've had any documentation of traffic accidents yet, but I've seen near misses, people swerving way out of the way to miss them, coming close to people on the sidewalk, and that's just my driving around town. Who knows, on all those other times when those deer are moving around. So it's definitely a safety concern, I think, for all of the citizens of Carson.
I appreciate that comment. Thank you. I think there was a gentleman from the Department of Wildlife that just walked in. I hate to say this, but we've been talking about you. So we were just talking about urban deer in Carson City, and what we're hoping is that eventually we could have some cooperation and maybe a partnership with the department regarding doing some census control or census taking in Carson City, so we know how big of an issue we have. And are they all migratory, or are they all residents, or is it a combination? And then ultimately, where do we want to have as a control number? So would you like to make any comments regarding that? So I just caught you up with, there's the 30-second catch-up. So if you could state your name for the record, please.
You bet. My name is Brian Wakeling. I'm the game chief with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. And I think I would welcome the opportunity to work with the CAB on, whatever approach that we might choose to take to try to. It's certainly an issue. It's certainly something that deserves attention. We certainly... I'm not intimately familiar with every aspect that the CAB has pursued. I've certainly heard a lot of the updates that have been provided to the commission. And so I would be happy to entertain any conversation on the topic.
Great, thank you.
If I could, Mr. Chair, just ask a question real quick. So have you, in your estimation, have you seen any of the other surrounding communities or counties that are experiencing urban wildlife problems?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there are a number of things that tend to influence increased urban activity by deer or a variety of other wildlife that ultimately create nuisance issues when they become in contact with wildlife or with humans. And yeah, there's certainly any number of communities that deal with those types of issues. I think the the degree to which Carson City is dealing with an urban deer situation is probably more enhanced than what a lot of others are seeing.
Okay, throughout the state?
I would say throughout the state. There's a lot of things, and I'm sure you all are well aware of the factors that tend to influence that. Be it coyotes in Las Vegas or bears in Incline Village. When conditions in a human habitation are conducive to attracting wildlife, humans tend to occupy the same type of habitat that wildlife do. We like the same kinds of things. And things that draw us to areas often draw wildlife. And then we often do things that enhance those habitats for wildlife, be it lawns, be it garbage cans, a variety of things. Our activities often make it far more attractive to wildlife.
One more question, if I could, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
Does the department, did they come up with a position to deal with nuisance wildlife, that sort of thing? I seem to remember a position being flown and possibly even filled. And maybe you can clarify that for us?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that is correct. The department has hired two positions. At this point, I'm not exactly certain their start dates, but what those positions are designed to, they're funded by general fund dollars, and they're designed to help work with communities. One of the communities in one of our Vegas office, one of the other ones out of the Reno office, our regions, and so they're going to be designed to provide a service to the community for those purposes.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you clarifying that.
And I'll add to that. I'm glad to hear that. And I think that's part of the legislative process that happened. So we got some money for urban wildlife is what I'm understanding. And I'd like to say, because we are out in front of this curve, we would love to work with that person that is coming to the Reno area.
Thank you very much for that opportunity, and I will pass that along. Much of the work that we've done thus far with a lot of the urban wildlife, we haven't had the benefit of some of the dedicated funding. And since that time, we've had to use sportsman dollars in order to be able to do it, because we haven't been able to use our federal excise dollars to pursue that particular type of an activity. So now that we've got that, we would look forward to it as well.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions while Brian's here?
No.
Okay. Any further comments or suggestions on urban mule deer? Oh, yes. Hi.
Well,
could say your name for the record, please.
Ray Swanson. I think your idea for doing a public survey sheet for finding out what the wildlife population is in Carson City area is a great idea. Take a little bit of education to the public, but I think that would be a phenomenal way to figure out what's in Carson. Also, if it did become a problem, a harvest plan with special education for city type environment, that kind of, to make sure that everybody was safe, everything was going on, was good for the public and good for the community, would be appropriate.
Great, thank you.
So,
any questions?
So real quick, can I ask a question real quick? Can you come back up to the podium there? Can I ask you, are you a sportsman?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and do you actively hunt and stuff? And,
yeah.
Okay. In your opinion, do you feel like sportsmen are capable of identifying? I know the gentleman before that spoke on this kind of brought up a point that I thought was interesting. Are sportsmen capable of identifying certain things on animals that you feel they'd be able to give good solid data?
Absolutely.
Is that something?
Absolutely, because that's part of being a responsible hunter. If you can't identify the animal, identify it clearly, you have no business doing that.
Appreciate that.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, another thing I could add, to get more of the public involved, I mean, when you think about the population here in Carson City, we have about less than 2% of our population having hunting licenses. And that's a pretty low number. And looking at how many might be willing to do this, I think that being able to identify the a particular deer that appears on your lawn day after day or week after week is going to be a challenge. I think that what I would hope we could accomplish with taking a census and getting, you know, people within certain districts of the community to volunteer, and then if they're sportsmen, it makes our job easier, but if they're lay people, then we have to do a little bit more about being able to help them identify, you know, the males, the females, the point count on the bucks, the young. And because, I mean, I mentioned earlier that, you know, I walk my dogs every morning and evening, and, you know, I see the mom and the fawns that are being raised, and I see the ones that have been injured so far, and, you know, because they hang out together. They follow the same game trail, so to say, from one house to another house, down the hill, up the other hill. And so, yeah, you can pretty much determine and say, well, yeah, I've seen that one before and this one before. And I think it may not be scientifically 100% correct, but I think we need to gather information and then sift through it to be able to, you know, better identify and ask people, take pictures. You know, everybody's got a smartphone or a camera or something. And ask them to take it with you, and let them photograph some of these, so we can not only, if they're not sure what it is, we can identify it by looking at the picture. So I think that if we put together a program, I mean, I don't have all the answers, and I'm sure between the hunting population in town and help from the Department of Wildlife. And people who do this regularly could give us all pointers. And we put a little class on to say, if you're going to participate and be a volunteer for this program, you know, here's some basics. And this would help give some credence to the information that we all collect, because not everybody's going to be an expert at this, but there's parts of town where maybe there's a lot of some of the local population would like to participate. And we could train them to give us information that would have bearing on this matter. And we could, you know, put it all together and then sift through it and get a better picture of the size of the herd. And the big question that everybody always asks, well, is this a year-round population? Do they come certain times of the year and then they leave and try to go to warmer climates? Well, you know, we can all speculate on those answers, but maybe if we start this kind of data collection, we can define this better and then come up with the numbers and some information that could be helpful towards a workable solution for the deer and for the community. And I, you know, the issue that when the sheriff was at one of the meetings that we held prior to the board taking this action on, there's a number of collisions between vehicles and deer in this town, and I think starting about 2 years ago, it's kind of grown, because some of the supervisors have been getting called, and they've been calling members of the advisory board, who in turn have talked to people at the Department of Wildlife and with the sheriff, and it's a growing issue, and it's growing concern, and I think the community, you know, is going to benefit from the work that the Carson Advisory Board has been doing in conjunction with the Department of Wildlife. Thank you.
Thank you. Save those thoughts, and as we partner up with the Department of Wildlife, let's bring them forward. I think the department just heard that we're very interested in this community, and we'd like to work with them, and we got a lot of volunteers that will help. Moving along, the very next item is closely related to this item, and there's a couple of things I've asked and coordinated with our Park and Recreation Department. I see we have two representatives here today. We're going to take this into urban wildlife with a emphasis on coyote, the current coyote problem in Carson City. So this is Carson Urban Wildlife, including presentation and discussing of current coyote problems in Carson City. And then a discussion of the Utah Wild Aware Program. That's an excellent model for us to look at, and it's got a lot of great information. So I've attached in our packet, there's some information that was sent to me from the city. First of all, a press release issued by our Parks and Rec Department. Secondly, there's a warning sign that's been posted in numerous locations throughout the community on our trails. And thirdly, I have attached the department or the Utah Wildlife cover sheet. And then lastly, I have in here a paper on coyote attacks, which is in the back, and it's an increasing suburban problem. So with all that, Roger and Scott, thank you very much for coming. And if you can give us an overview of our coyote problem and what we're doing right now and where you think we need to go. Thank you, Roger.
Very good. For the record, Roger Mullendorf, I'm the Parks and Recreation Director, and I want to thank the advisory board for inviting us to this discussion. You mentioned it's an interesting discussion. It is very interesting. It's also frustrating because it seems like we talk around the problem with very little action being taken, but I applaud the efforts of the advisory board to work with the Cooperative Extension Service, the Nevada Division of Wildlife, and our department in terms of we feel that the long-term answer to this, to the problems, whether it's coyotes, deer, or any other type of urban wildlife, is really education. Now, having said that, we also believe that you have to have the ability to manage the herd. But we also have to have the ability to manage the human herd, too. And that's where the education comes in. There are still far too many people that in this community that find it attractive to have wildlife in their lawns, in their yards. They encourage it by feeding the wildlife. You know, we know that that's detrimental to their personal property, maybe their safety, but it's also detrimental to the wildlife as well. So it's going to take a several-pronged attack, and I think the idea of gradually converting our landscapes to plant material that's not so attractive to wildlife is a good start. We, as you know, particularly on the west side of town, we have an abundance of apple trees and fruit trees. They need to be harvested because when the fruit falls from those trees or it stays on the trees, they become attractive to deer and bear and other wildlife as well. But the two issues that we really have right now, the two main issues we have with wildlife, are both the urban deer population and the coyote population. Scott Fehrenbrook, our deputy director of the department, has been working very closely on the coyote problems. I'll let him kind of give a little rundown on what we're doing on that. But I would like to say that we are working on a draft urban deer policy and how the city will respond to complaints and calls about urban deer. Mainly focusing on what do we do with urban deer that have been injured, that have been hit, that are traffic accidents, either fatalities or injuries, and who will respond to them and how we'll respond to them. And I wanted to bring a copy of that policy to you today. Unfortunately, about an hour ago, right before I was getting ready to make copies, our printer went down. So our printer went down, so I tried to, our copier went down, so I tried to print from the copier or from the computer, and that part of the equipment went down too. So I don't have that, but I'd be happy to, offer that to you in the, for a future meeting, or to provide it to you at a later time as well. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to Scott, and he can talk a little bit about the magnitude of the coyote problem, and some of the practices that we have taken on to try to mitigate that as much as possible.
Thank you, Roger, Mr. Chair, and the board. For the record again, Scott Fehrenbrook, Deputy Director with Parks and Rec. This all started in early August. We had a gentleman that we had, that it had, the incident had been reported to us, and we contacted this gentleman. He was walking on the Mexican ditch with his two dogs, and his smallest dog, which was a small miniature German Schnauzer, was snatched up by a coyote and just taken away right in front of this guy. And so needless to say, he was traumatized by the whole thing. It took a while for me to even track this guy down and to get him to even talk to me about it. But he relayed that to me. And during that time that I had discovered this incident at the Mexican Ditch Trail, I had been receiving calls from folks that use the Riverview Park trails about incidents with coyotes and some run-ins with them, and that they were getting bolder and bolder coming up. And we actually even talked to a couple of people who said that their dog was bitten by the coyotes. All of the dogs that were attacked by coyotes were all off leash. We never had any dogs that were attacked that were on leash. And so we went into action. We put out a press release urging people that use those trails to put their dog on a leash, because we feel that that's the safest way to keep their pet safe and to keep themselves safe, is to have their pet close to them. And we also posted the sign that you had shown. We had posted those on all the trails. We started posting those just on the trails at the east portion of Carson City. But since that time, we've gotten a lot of calls about coyotes getting bolder and a lot of sightings on the west part of Carson City, especially the Long Ranch area, which is the Long Ranch subdivision just off King Street. So we had an unfortunate incident just about a month and a half ago, where a coyote had gone into the backyard of a lady that lives adjacent to Riverview Park, and you may have seen this on some of the news stories, the local news stories. She lost her first dog to the coyote, and subsequently, about a week later, lost her second dog to coyotes again. So she lost both of her dogs to coyotes, and that prompted us to contact the Nevada Division of Wildlife and talk to those folks. They, in turn, based on the reports and the data that we gave them, actually three fatal attacks and then six other attacks that were not fatal but required vet bills and other injuries to these animals, they contracted with the USDA, the United States Department of Ag, to come out and eradicate a portion of the coyotes in Riverview Park. And they did come a few weeks ago. They came in and they eradicated three coyotes from the park. They felt that those three coyotes were the ones that were acting the most aggressive. And we're hoping that those coyotes that they eradicated, that they managed from that area, were the ones that were causing the problem. Because all of the reports that we received were that it was two or three coyotes that were causing the majority of the problem. So with that, we just continue to encourage people to keep their dog on a leash. We don't want people to quit using the parks and trails. It's not at that stage yet, but people need to be smart. As Roger had alluded to, people just need to use their head. You know, we encourage people not to, you know, walk their dogs, especially off leash during the early dawn or late dusk hours. That seems to be when the coyotes are the most active. And if people do have problems with coyotes on any of our trails, they need to contact our department immediately, because we are still in communication with NDAO and with the USDA, and they will come in and help us manage this problem. But I think it goes without saying that, you know, just like with the mule deer population and the problems that we're discussing tonight, this is going to continue to be an ongoing problem for Carson City, and we need to be on top of it.
Thank you. And I'll open it up to board members for questions.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Scott. Thanks for that presentation, Scott. And if memory serves me correct, the woman that you were talking about in there, that coyote, or coyotes, plural, if I understood it right, came into her yard. This wasn't a trail issue. This was a coyote snatched right in her yard in front of her.
Correct. This happened in her backyard. The second time that it happened, she actually tried to intervene and pull the coyote away from the dog that was being attacked, and eventually had to put her dog down. because of the injuries from the attack. But her yard is butts up and is adjacent to Riverview Park. So if you walk out her back gate, you're into the trail at Riverview Park. So the coyote population that's been coming into the backyards, and this isn't the only person that lives along Riverview Park that's had those problems. We've had a couple of other folks that have reported their dogs missing or their cats missing because of the coyotes. And so, again, you know, you have to weigh that. Is it coyotes being coyotes, or is it people not being smart, or people leaving food and water out when they're not supposed to? There's a lot of things. There's a lot of factors here between a balance of management. You know, we don't want to go out and kill all the coyotes in town. That's not our intent. But if we do run into a situation like we did with this big wave of problems at Riverview Park, we may be forced to do some more management of the problem. But at the same time, we want to educate people, too, and we want to minimize any opportunities, you know, that the coyotes may have, and hopefully teach people how to live with them.
Thank you. And, Scott, a quick question on that. You said her property backs up to Riverview Park. Is her property fenced?
Yeah, it's fenced, but it just has a 4-foot-high chain link fence. So I think we all know that that's no problem for a coyote. And we did advise her that if she, you know, wanted to remain in that location and she wanted pets in her backyard, she better get a dog run with the top, with the ceiling, or get a much higher fence than what she has. Because, you know, we've had, just in that row of homes along there, we've had a couple of problems. And so not only do they look for opportunities on the trail, but coyotes will look for opportunities in people's backyards as well.
If I could add to that, too, I've had a report of a coyote that has been in the backyard with a 6-foot-high fence. So, you know, I mean, they can climb. They can climb over fences rather easily. Our position is that a lethal means of control should be the last resort. Should be the last resort effort. We don't want to see coyotes killed, as Scott said. However, our primary responsibility in our parks and on our trails is ensure that we have a safe recreational area for the people who use the facilities, including their pets. And, you know, our concern is that it's only a matter of time if the coyote problem continues at this rate that somebody's going to get hurt, because they're going to try to rescue their dog or save their dog from a coyote attack. And I don't think anybody wants to see a human being get hurt in the process. It's bad enough to see a dog carried off or killed. There may become a time, as Scott said, that if the problem continues, that we may have to contact the USDA to come out and to you know, take on some more lethal means to control the coyotes.
Great. Other questions?
Roger, you talked about the east side, and just you briefly mentioned the west side. And this last two summers, you talk about brazen coyotes. You could set your watch by the time these two would lope across my front lawn, you know, like between 2:30 and 2:45. Every day they'd come loping across my lawn. And I'm standing there watching them. And, you know, they've never, you know, jumped the 5-foot fence that we have in the backyard, but I've seen them walk up alongside it. And they send the small one, the pups, out first to see if they can, because my neighbor has two dog, good-sized dogs, but they're loose all the time. I told him they're trying to bait your dogs to come away from the house after the little one, to play with the little one, and there's a couple of bigger ones right behind them. So it's not just the east side, it's going to be all over town. And we've had a dog, one of the neighbors said she had a dog attacked somewhere in Lakeview. I don't remember exactly where, because when I started talking to some of the neighbors, they all mentioned that so-and-so lost a cat or a dog, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, and I don't know what you do. I mean, because it isn't like there's a trail. Everybody walks the streets most of the time. And I've had coyotes 30 or 40 feet would trail us in the morning, staying by the houses while we were out in the middle of the road. So it just raises the hair on the back of your neck. And I had them on, I always keep them on leashes, but when you see the coyotes to your right or to your left, you get a little concerned and you'd start wondering, do we walk, should we start walking around with something to protect ourselves with in the event that the animals get a little more brazen? And listen, they got to eat too. And you, after you run out of rabbits and squirrels, they look something next higher up on the food chain. And so hopefully, you know, we'll be able to kind of nip this thing in the bud, but I just don't know how. Thank you.
Other comments? Questions?
So Roger and Scott, if I can ask a question of you. Can you recall a time, have we run into this before here in Carson City with regard to the threat to public safety that you guys feel has increased?
You know, I think we've always had, and Scott's been here longer than I have, so I should probably defer to him, but I think we've always had some coyote, human, coyote, dog issues, but it seems like it has ramped up this year compared to past years.
It's definitely ramped up, and when I talked to Channel 8 News about it, I made the comment to him. I said, in my 21 years here, I probably dealt with 3 coyote attacks on trails where a coyote has attacked a dog, and I've dealt with, you know, 6 non-lethal attacks and, 3 fatal attacks just in one specific area of Carson City within the last 3 months. So, I mean, obviously, the activity is ramped up. And that's when we called Endow and USDA and said, hey, folks, we got to do something here. And they saw the problem, too. They did tell me that they said, this is not a unique problem just to Carson City. This is happening in Reno. This is happening in South Lake Tahoe. This is happening all over.
I appreciate that, that information. Let me ask you, are they saying that they're having the same issues that we're having in all the different communities? Is it stepping up in the different communities? Are they saying that they're seeing an increase in coyote population throughout, you know, all these different urban communities in the state?
That's what they're telling me. Okay. I mean, I've been told that by Endow officials. I've been told that by USDA officials. They said the population is way up, you know, and the coyotes don't have the fear of humans that they had before. You know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, people in Carson City be driving on a road. They might pull over and shoot a coyote. Well, they don't do that anymore. And the coyotes are not being hunted. I mean, I'm just being honest. The coyotes are not being hunted like they were 25, 30 years ago. A lot of the coyotes have lost their fear of humans, and I think we're seeing it right now. That is compounded by the problem with the drought and everything else, you know, the environmental aspect of it. So, you know, it's a problem, and I believe it's going to get worse before it gets better, and we need to be on top of it.
So just one final question, if I can, Mr. Chair. With regards to the means that USDA used to eradicate the coyotes over in the Riverview area, can you expand upon that a little bit? I mean, without getting graphic or anything for the record, but certainly did they use cyanide bombs or?
No, they actually used rifles with silencers. I'm not sure what caliber of rifle they used, but, you know, when I first met with them, I said, well, you know, we need to be careful. This is a public place and this is a park. And I go, don't worry about it. We do this all the time. And they go, we're not going to, you know, we know what we're doing. They won't even know that we're here. And actually what they did was the 3 coyotes that they took was during a rainstorm. And they said, oh, it's raining. We need to go out. This is a good time to go because nobody's going to be in the park. And so that's when they called in the 3 coyotes.
So the public impact was
minimized. Public impact was minimized. I've actually talked to several people that, you know, walk on those trails all the time. I said, did you know that these guys were here? And they said, well, we saw a white truck driving around, but we didn't know who it was.
Okay.
So really, they didn't, you know, they were in and out so quick, and they really didn't cause any problems, just like they assured us that they would.
And just a real quick, another question, did it require any kind of special use permit by them or anything like that? Was that?
I had to sign an agreement that just acknowledged that they were there.
Okay. Great. Thank you, guys. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we have in the back on that table and was part of our discussion, and I put it in there for part of our discussion tonight, is this paper called Coyote Attacks, an Increasing Suburban Problem. And let me just hit a couple of things. On page one, under the changing suburban environment, there's a discussion in there that says, in the author's opinion here, that driven by new landscape ordinances, increased affluence, and a desire to create lush and attractive landscapes in new developments, humans have created within as few as 5 to 6 years rich landscapes that are more attractive to rodents, rabbits, and other wildlife. These new habitats, as well as landscapes, freeway right-of-ways, this is, of course, California, may develop significant populations of rabbits, gophers, ground squirrels, voles, other rodents, blah, blah, blah. Such areas serve as corridors for coyote movement within suburban areas. So part of the issue is that we're creating an environment. And that Riverview Park now is getting about 5-6 years into some really good, beautiful landscaping. So I'm not saying tear out your landscaping. The next part of this, if you look in here, you'll see documented human interactions with coyotes from 79 through 2003. And if you look at the numbers in 79, there were six. If you look at the numbers for 2002, 1, 2, and 3, there's definitely an increase that's occurring. And then I'll refer you to page 5 in here where the changes in coyote behavior under the section called Changes in Coyote Behavior. And if you go to the second paragraph, it says, the typical activity pattern of coyotes in the absence of human harassment seems to be largely crepuscular and diurnal. But when predator control activities are undertaken, coyotes shift their activity mainly to nighttime to avoid humans. So I put this in here for your reading pleasure, but you can see what it's here for. So I'm not suggesting we go out and harass coyotes, but I'm saying that when coyotes are harassed, this paper indicates that they have more of a fear of humans. Scott and Roger, is there something that this board can do to support you at this time, other than being a forum and an education source?
I think that's ultimately the, as I kind of said in my opening remarks, I think that's ultimately the biggest help that we can get, and it's probably the, you know, the best tactic that we can do. We can, you know, we know we're not going to, nor do we want to eradicate deer from our city limits, nor do we want to eradicate coyotes, because so it's sort of a paradox. We live here because we like the natural environment that this area affords, which includes wildlife. Yet, you know, we want to make sure we have a safe community too at the same time, and we don't want wildlife destroying personal, you know, property as well. So I think really in the long run is this, again, I applaud the work that you've done working with the state of Utah to get examples of their materials that they've put out, managing urban wildlife and the trifold publication on the mule deer, I think are going to have payoffs in the long run, you know, that are going to be, you know, very beneficial. You know, the support of helping the city with those kinds of endeavors, I think, is probably the most feasible and probably the best efforts you can do to help us with this.
Great, thank you very much. And since you mentioned Utah, for those of you who haven't looked yet, there is a thing out there called Wild Aware Utah. And I've had a discussion with some of our city manager, as well as department heads. Your department was represented there, as well as fire sheriff. And they all look at that and go, that's great. And what we need is a Nevada-ized version of something like this. And what's great, a good piece of news I'll give all of you tonight, is the fact that we have Cooperative Extension has hired a new Cooperative Extension educator in Carson City. And she has a good background and, in fact, a master's in communication. And it would be great to get that woman to help us put together and Nevadaize the Wild Aware Utah with cooperation and support from the department, the city, and us. So that's one of the things that we are definitely looking at. And if you go to this page, each one of these animals, and they range everything from arachnids down to elk and then pests and coyotes. And if you click each one of those, it comes up with page after page of things you can do and things you can know about that particular animal. So we're moving in that direction. At this particular point, I'd like to see if the public has any comments regarding our coyote issue. Roger and Scott, are you gentlemen done?
We certainly can't stay around.
Can you stay for questions and answers? Great. So I would like to open it up to the public for any comment regarding specifically our coyote problem in the city. Any public comment?
Once again, C.K. Bailey, thank you for the opportunity to speak in this forum. I come from Southern Cal, and as you can see by that that piece of paper that you just brought up, Mr. Chairman, that that document that showed the herds of coyote, the growth of coyote populations in SoCal, it is very much that. And I have seen a device that is used by private individuals, and it could be probably adapted to something larger, that reminds you of the cylinder, the aluminum cylinder of an awning, that the awning material is placed on. It is a long cylinder. It's on bearings. It's placed attached on top of a chain link fence that is to protect a backyard. The coyotes cannot get over this fence because of this cylindrical moving device. I didn't know if you were aware of this device or not, but I thought I'd bring it to your attention. The new facility for dogs and cats that are going to be within the city, it might behoove us, and I can probably get you the information if it's not available to you, that this device it doesn't look inexpensive, but attached to the top part of a chain link fence, there is no animal that can get over it, raccoon, coyote, et cetera. Thank you.
It sounds like what it is a roller. That
correct.
When you put your paws on it, it rolls back.
That is correct.
Great, thank you. Other comments?
Yes, for the record, Fred Volz, what I had just handed out was a current study as opposed to a rather dated one from Southern California of what they've been doing in Denver, Colorado, partnering with an entity called Project Coyote. Their website is projectcoyote.com, .org, rather. And instead of focusing on the lethal ways of coexisting with coyotes in urban areas, they've chosen to take the non-lethal approach. And you'll see in the three pages of discussion about the Denver experience some considerable success, and I would definitely encourage the Parks and Rec people to get in touch with the necessary counterparts in Denver and see what they've been doing right, because it's not focusing on paying a bounty as Utah has done to kill coyotes to deal with their urban issues. The study that was included with the package tonight seems to be somewhat conflicted, because two of the authors of this study are APHIS employees, and APHIS lives to kill wildlife. That's their sole purpose in life. They have contracts with every single state in this country to go out and kill the wildlife. So I would say that their perspective on this would be somewhat compromised. Additionally, on page 8 of that study, when one looks at the number of attacks in counties that have millions of people, it's not even a statistical blip. And I would suggest that in Carson City, even with the 6 attacks that have been discussed tonight, out of 55,000 people, that's not exactly a huge, overwhelming crisis that we have. Certainly, it's a concern. But I think that, as with the deer, we need to start with responsible human behavior, and the education is certainly a part of that. But it would seem as though the Parks Department, perhaps in league with the city attorney, should be looking at a mandatory leash law in this city so that we don't have pets running around and at risk, because there are many people who don't have control of their pets. They go into traffic, they get hit, they get hurt. So that there's a responsibility with the humans who choose to have pets to be responsible pet owners. And if that means they have to construct some sort of mandatory protection if they won't have their pets inside with them where they can keep an eye on them just as they would with their children, then they need to have some sort of outside enclosure that protects them from the weather and also protects them from any predators or other wildlife that could possibly hurt them. So that could be something else that's mandatory in the city along with the leash law. Again, as with deer, killing coyotes only creates a bigger rebound problem than was already there beforehand. So it's not really a solution that is durable or is going to help this community or any other for that matter. And again, do we have a crisis looking at the number of events versus the population? Statistically, no, we do not. And wildlife rightfully and naturally fear humans, and they keep their distance. So it really is a wonder, unless there is some sort of attractant, whether it's food, whether it's a pet that's not being supervised properly, that wildlife really wants to come and attack our domestic animals, our children, or adults for that matter. And I guess I would close by saying two other things. The coyotes keep rodent populations down. They are a useful predator in the scheme of the interspecies food chain and not to be eliminated in any way, shape, or form. And we wouldn't eliminate a serial problem with a human being by just killing them arbitrarily. And I don't know that we know that these 3 coyotes that were killed by the APHIS people, if they were indeed the problem or not. They don't have any scientific evidence to show that those particular coyotes were the cause of any problem. So just going out and killing, as you folks in the Parks Department have suggested, really needs to be a last resort, and it needs to be implemented in a very cautious way, not just going out and indiscriminately killing coyotes or anything else for that matter. Thank you.
Rick?
Yes.
Question?
Please.
One of the comments that you made, the municipal code here in Carson City says that the pet should be under control.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have a leash law.
Correct.
I am 100% with you on this one, that we do need a leash law in Carson City.
And perhaps these incidents are a prime example of why that's necessary, because so far the Board of Supervisors hasn't been really willing to take any action on that issue for whatever reasons.
A few years back when we had a lot of public meetings held about the dog laws and issues pertaining to dogs and how many dogs can you have before you need to get a license for a
kennel.
Right. A kennel license, that's mm-hmm. the word. And I thought we had it pretty much understood that we were going to get a leash law, but nothing ever came about because I in the wintertime, when it's snowy and muddy up at my place, I like to take my dogs down to the college where they have that paved walkway that goes for about a mile. Mm-hmm. Well, when you got other people whose dogs are not on leashes and they come running at your dogs, It's scary at times because some of them are pretty good sized dogs, and to interject yourself between, you know, another dog and yours, it's just like you say, you know, you're trying to protect your dog from a coyote. Well, I've kind of seen the size of some of these dogs that come over, and, you know, and the owner says, oh, he just wants to play. Well, I'm not too sure he just wants to play. So I would support, you know, taking a good look at our municipal code with regards to control, what control really means. And I would go for a leash law instead of.
Well, anybody who's a dog owner knows that control is very situational. You can presume that you have voice control over the dog, but if they smell something or they see something that they're attracted to, they may just bypass that altogether. And I agree with you about the charging. Maybe it's friendly, maybe it isn't, but if you don't know the dog, you have no way of knowing what's going to happen in that encounter. And it's the same way with the coyotes. They don't want necessarily to have any interaction with humans or their pets. But if there's the opportunity and we're in a drought and they're hungry, as you said, they need to eat, then that's an issue. And so people need to be not only educated, but they need to be responsible about their pets. And if we need a leash law to do that or some sort of additional code section that says your animal must be protected, if it's even if it's going to be in your own yard, because there are hazards out in the universe, then perhaps this board plus the Parks Department, maybe the city attorney, because of the liability issue, if the city is sued for some reason because they haven't done enough about wildlife, well, maybe there isn't anything to do except have responsible residents. And if people aren't going to do it on their own, unfortunately, that's why we have to have laws.
Thank you.
And just for the record, this board does not have a position on leash laws or under control. And I think if you polled this board, they would be mixed. So just to let you know. Any other?
Excuse me, but if you're looking for solutions, that would be. Well,
thank you.
That is your role here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Other comments?
A question. After they eliminated the three coyotes in that
area,
has
your name, please, sir?
Jim White. Has there been any other attacks on pets in the area?
There has been an unconfirmed report of one last week. I try not to report anything that hasn't been confirmed, but there has been an unconfirmed report to me that a dog got bit, but survived and was okay.
So they went from quite a few to.
So
the expert's opinion. Those were the problem coyotes. That was the gentleman, the guys, the U.S., who was it?
USDA.
USDA.
I wanted to interject on Mr. Volz's comment there. What the USDA told me, and this I'm just repeating what they told me, they observed coyotes in the park. They did not randomly shoot coyotes in the park. They said that they selected the three coyotes that they felt were the most aggressive and the most brazen. And those were the ones that they called
from
the
park.
Go out and say, we're going to just go kill three coyotes, and then we're going to get out of there. So they observed the coyotes for a few days, and then they took the ones that they thought were necessary to take. So,
are there public comments? State your name, please.
Jim Davis. I'd just like to say that I've lived all over Nevada in big cities and little cities. And some of the worst coyote problems are in the small towns where nobody hunts coyotes. And the population explodes. It's not from dogs or people's cats. You got wildlife out there. You got rabbits. You got mice. You got all sorts of rodents that as that rodent problem or the rabbit population explodes, the coyote population explodes. And somebody said when that food is gone, they move on up the food chain. And my problem is they're going to move up to the food chain, and when they're not there, they're going to start taking little kids. And if a little kid cannot go in his backyard and play with a 4-foot fence without having a coyote come over there, they need to put the fear of death in these coyotes. And in the smaller towns where they do shoot coyotes, when you see a coyote, it's running. It's moving away from man. And when it's they're not feeding on people's dogs exclusively. They're using the wildlife that's at hand. And if you drive around Carson, one of the things you're going to see is rabbits, especially out on the west side there. There's rabbits everywhere. They're wild rabbits. Those coyotes are feeding on those wild rabbits. And they're the same coyote that eats that rabbit, if he sees your dog, and it doesn't matter if that dog is fenced, if it's on a leash, he can detect that weakness. I talked to a lady, I walk in Ash Canyon. She said she had her dog on a leash, and the coyote came down. I said, did you report it? And she said, no. She threw rocks at it, and it left. I've had three friends have their dogs attacked, two in the yard and one out and off leash. Two of the dogs were killed. One was wounded. If you don't shoot at coyotes, if you don't put the fear of death in them, they are going to move. They're going to focus on what is easy prey. And that easy prey can be that rabbit, your dog, or your child. And when a child gets hurt, then somebody's going to say, we should be shooting these coyotes. I mean, I lived in Austin. I've watched the rabbit population explode, and right behind that, the coyote population exploded. Nobody was hunting them. Nobody was shooting them. Nobody was even bothering them, and that population exploded to where you couldn't walk, and well, they had to come in and shoot them. And that's the way you control coyotes. If they don't have the fear of man, they don't care. They'll come up on your porch, take your dog, your cat, or your kid. And in my opinion, they need to be eradicated. We've been trying to eradicate them, ranchers, and people have been trying to eradicate them for years and years, and they can't do it. And it's not a population thing. If you shoot one, they're going to double their population. They feed on the natural animals that are out there, the rabbits and birds, whatever they can get. They're predators, and they'll take easy prey. And we need to put the fear of death in them, in my opinion. So I guess I need to sign in here. Huh?
Okay. Thank you, sir. Any other public comment?
So if I could just ask a question real quick, can I?
Please? Absolutely.
All right. So, Jim, when Mr. Davis, when you're done, if you mentioned your experience in Austin, Nevada, which we know is very rural area, right?
Correct.
And so, can I ask you, by your experience, did you? I like that you've lived there and you gave some testimony on that. In your experience, did you notice when the coyote population increased? Did the rabbit population decrease or
not? It took the rabbit population continued to increase at that time.
Even though there was more coyotes coming, correct?
Even though there was more coyotes, The only way they eliminated them, and they would have the coyote calling contest. That didn't do anything to them. They finally had to get a government hunter in and fly over them with a helicopter and shoot them out of the helicopter. They were killing cattle in packs, and we used to call coyotes on the weekend, and it got scary because when you started calling, you didn't get a coyote. You got 20 coyotes in a pack. You got a dozen coyotes. You had 10 coyotes, and nothing slowed them down. Mm-hmm. And finally, the government hunter had to come in. He was there for 3 months shooting them out of a helicopter with a shotgun.
And do we know what – do you have any – you recall the kind of numbers that they eradicated in that area? Just
hundreds.
I'm just one hundreds, okay.
And I was working on the survey crew then, and there isn't a whole lot to do in Austin. You fish and you hunt and drink beer. They The ranchers were trying to get them. The sheepmen were trying to get them. Mm-hmm. They could not control those coyotes. The population just exploded. But the rabbit population had also exploded. And it was, the rabbits were up for, 3-4 years. Uh-huh. And I talked to the people around there, and they had said they had seen it before years and years ago, and the same thing happened. The rabbit population explodes, and a lot of it has to do with the drought here. These rabbits are coming into people's yards for water. I don't know if you've been in the outlying areas lately, but the springs are drying up. There is no water. So they're concentrating because people are watering their lawns. People have ponds in their yards, and the rabbits, the other smaller rodents are coming in for that water, and those coyotes are following them. And the population, I don't know if it's expanded any or blown up around here, but it's concentrated. They're coming out of the hills and into where there's water. And that's where they get water. That's where they get their food. And it doesn't have anything to do with anybody's dog or anybody's cat. But they're a predator, and they'll come over a fence in a heartbeat for a dog, a cat, or a little kid.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Thank you.
Bailey, you've already commented on this. I'm going to try to wrap this up, so if you make your comment really quick, I'd appreciate it.
I understand, Mr. Chairman, and I thank you for the opportunity. Actually, it's a question to this board, not really. It's a comment/question, and that is, wasn't there a time last year or the year before that we met this challenge of leash laws and having animals that we've actually had people that it had to do with traps. It had to do with trapping animals, and that the traps had to be so far from an urban setting. Didn't we come up with something like that? And now we're talking about, and I'm bringing this up because there were a lot of people that wanted to let their dogs run free without leashes, and that they could be called by voice, and that we've reduced the amount of area, or we've said that we can't have traps. We can only do trapping so far from an urban setting because it might injure people or dogs, something like that. Am I off base? Am I really off kilter?
I think that's a topic for another day.
I figure it is, but I thought I'd bring that up, that maybe we had met this just slightly.
Appreciate the comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other comments? Well, state your name, please.
Ray Swanson. I've been a resident up just on the southwest side of Carson for 10 years now. Personally, in my home, I've had a bear inside my living room. That was nice. The gentleman that lived there before me shot a bear in the living room of the house I live in. Over the last 3 years, I have chickens at my home, and I have them caged correctly, roof cage with brick underneath, keep them secure. I've lost 2 batches of chickens from coyotes. This year, I haven't lost any, but I have witnessed 6 o'clock in the morning, looking out my living room window, watching the coyotes rock right in front of my house. The animals are getting more brazen. I think through some responsible trapping, some other programs like that, we could really help this problem along.
Appreciate that comment. If I could just ask you a question. How the times that you lost your chickens, how did the coyotes get into your coop?
Those two times, they dug underneath. And I have 1 foot thick cinder blocks underneath the chain link fence on the
so subground, you have 1 foot.
Yeah, subground.
And they went underneath those.
And they went underneath those.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think that was bring it back here. I think that was a really good discussion. Any board member see an action that we need to take? I think we have the education component, and I think that's what the city is asking us. Correct, Scott and Roger?
That's correct.
Okay.
I'd also like to add, Mr. Chair, that I have had conversations with Project Coyote. We haven't done anything with them yet, but they did send us a video. And it was actually the city of Aurora, I believe, where that we had looked at, where they have a program for hazing coyotes. And so Roger and I have had a lot of discussions. We haven't implemented anything yet, but we do know that, you know, that public education is the key. We want to be proactive and hopefully, you know, like I said in my presentation, we want people to learn to live with coyotes. We don't want to just go eradicate them. That would be a last resort for us. So.
Great. Thank you, gentlemen. So I see no action. I'd like to close this particular item. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Getting back on track, I've asked the Department of Wildlife to help us with item number 8. Ryan, I don't know if you could come up and sit over here on the side, but I'd appreciate it if you could give us a little background on NDAO's guidelines for harvest management in the state. It's been reported that county advisory boards are not receiving enough public input regarding quotas, seasons, and how we can help, what the issue is. I'd like to know what the issue is, Brian, and I'd like to know how we can help get a better conversation. And I'm glad we have a few sportsmen in the audience tonight. So, Brian, if you could give us a little background on this issue, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brian Wakeling, I'm the game chief with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. You know, the one of the challenges, or one of the things that the game division does as part of their daily operations is we try to manage wildlife populations, primarily game species, and we look at a variety of aspects when we're trying to recommend permits, tag numbers, seasons, and things of that nature. I've kind of been I've been with the agency now for just over a year, and so kind of been watching how that has operated. And one of the challenges for I think you know, virtually everybody that's involved in the process is we have a set of guidelines that we use that are housed in a variety of different locations. For instance, sage-grouse management is largely housed within a Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies document that recommends guidelines on how to manage sage-grouse. Sage-grouse is influenced, of course, by a lot of issues that that may include endangered species management, which at this point it does not. Mule deer are governed by the mule deer management plan. Elk have an elk management plan and several elk subplans based in various counties depending upon where those populations are. And so what it occurred to me is that it would probably help the agency, it would probably help the public, it would probably help the commission and the CABs if we were to place all of those in one document. And that document is what I've called the Harvest Management Guidelines for Hunting Seasons in Nevada. And so for this past, well, I kind of briefed the commission on what I hoped the approach would be during their August commission, shared with them the idea of trying to consolidate what we do now and trying to share that, with the public and, you know, the CABs and the commission, the agency. And so for the last week, what the agency has done is hold a series of town halls. And our intent was basically to provide a forum whereby we could solicit comments on our existing guidelines. One of the questions that came up as we were going through that exercise is, you know, in a couple of instances, it was like, well, are you trying to circumvent the CAB process? And it certainly was not our intent. Our intent was very much to help support that. But one of the comments, in fact, in at least two of the five cities that we held town hall meetings in, we had CAB leadership present, at which the CAB members stood up at the end of the meeting and said, you know, there's a good turnout this evening, and we'd really like to see you turn out at our CAB meetings as well, because we have the opportunity to discuss a variety of wildlife management issues and provide local feedback to the commission through the process of doing so. And my sense was that it's probably at times challenging to get the kind of representative public input that the CABs would like to have. And at this point in the process that we're undertaking, I'm not sure that I've got an awful lot of really great ideas on how to improve it. You know, if you come into a city and you annoy people, they usually get a pretty good turnout. but if you're, you know, oftentimes if you're engaged in an activity or making recommendations or involved with some aspect that you largely the public is either in approval or don't have a great deal of interest in, sometimes it can be difficult to get people to come and provide feedback on the items that you desperately need their input on. And so, you know, right now, for this period of time, you know, we spent 2 hours with the department in every one of the cities that we stopped in. Reno, Las Vegas, Ely, Elko, and Winnemucca. And we also spent 2 hours with the public in each of those various venues. We had about 31 people present outside of department personnel in Reno. We had about 12 or 13 in Vegas, 9 in Ely, 25 in Elko, and another 17 in Winnemucca. And so I'm not suggesting that even that turnout is necessarily representative of all the feedback that we might receive. But our intent is for this to be the start of the process. We're looking for a process that's going to take us probably until next June to finally arrive at what we're hoping to be a final set of recommendations that we're hoping we can arrive at and make that the guidelines that we manage towards for our game species.
Thank you very much. I think the public, the sportsman public, those of us who hunt and fish, but those of us who hunt big game, if we knew when key points are and key times are, I think people, if they're happy with the system or the system's working for them, they're not going to comment. You already said if we have controversy, we get people. If we're going to cut tags, you get people. Really, what I appreciate from the department is you coming forward and saying we'd like to get more public participation in this. I would like to get more Carson City sportsmen participation in our quotas and our seasons also. I have ideas, and I think that's one of the reasons I sit on this board. But I know a lot of you sportsmen that are here in the audience also have ideas and issues. So one of the things is we're being televised tonight, and I think every time we can get a message out that, please, if you have an issue with the seasons, with the quotas, come to us. Come either to the CAB, come to the department, and learn about it. Let me say to the public who's listening right now, what are our next key dates this coming year regarding seasons and quotas? This is a softball question for you, Brian.
Well, thank you. I've always appreciated a softball every now and again. January will be the date that we routinely set our seasons, and that's going to determine when, you know, the dates and the open units for the various seasons. I should point out that at the upcoming commission meeting, one of the things that the commission has in front of them we have a the waterfowl season, and not the waterfowl season itself. Some of our species that have federal trust status, migratory waterfowl for one thing, have a number of federal frameworks under which they operate. And so the zones that are open at different times, we have a limited opportunity to provide input to this, to the Pacific Flyway as we start to formulate those hunt recommendations. And so this will be the opportunity for the commission to direct the agency to pursue a different set of waterfowl hunting zones if the commission chooses to do that. So that will be on the agenda on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday. The next time we'll have an opportunity to look at the zones will be 5 years from now. And so that's something the Pacific Flyway opens up every once every 5 years. Then we come to the season setting in January. Following that, I believe it will be in April or May, will be the quota setting. And at that point, people will have already applied for hunts, but at that point we'll adjust the number of tags that will be available for the hunters to apply or to be drawn for. June, we often deal with a lot of the translocations, you know, our transplant plans, both for small game, big game. And then we'll often have, you know, some of the, like turkeys, upland game, and things of that during the summer months as well.
Thank you very much. And let me just give the public a little perspective on a couple of things. It wasn't that long ago that we only had two waterfowl units in the state of Nevada, a north unit and a south unit. The people in Elko in western, eastern Nevada, where it's much colder than it is here, had a concern that we couldn't participate. So what they asked is to have a third unit, and we created that third unit so that they actually start their season 2 weeks before we start our seasons in the west, because it freezes really tight come December in Elko versus whatever, versus here or the south. So that's an example. And then something for people to think about and you sportsmen to think about is regarding seasons and quotas. One of the things when you read their management plans for the objectives with elk, we have an abundance of elk and they're exceeding their agreed to management plans in many units. And so, for example, the unit up there in northern Elko in the 061-071, one of the things that they've done is change the seasons and change the hunts so that the rifle season actually starts before the archery, so that you can actually remove more cow elk, and you've been really successful at that. So those are things for you to think about. What are the season objectives, which are in these management plans, and then how can we emphasize it? And it was just 3-4 years ago, and I'll just say that 061-071 unit, they were reducing the amount of harvest because they were putting more people out there, and the elk were, they're pretty smart, and they basically disappear into Idaho or wilderness areas. And now they've changed things around. So I think you actually had about a 50 to 60% cow harvest this past year. So those are things to think about. Is that, am I getting it about right here? Or?
Mr. Chairman, the statistics on the elk hunts can be really challenging depending upon which hunt you particularly, you may select to follow. One of the things that we've seen over time, and one of the things that we shared with the public through our hunt guidelines, public meetings, you know, in 1999, 2000, we were offering about 1,500 tags in Nevada, and last year we offered about 11,000. While we've seen harvest increase, it has not increased as rapidly as what we've seen with the increase in tags. But a lot of the innovative hunts that we've implemented have increased hunt success for various species. We have a spike hunt, for instance. Spike hunt helps us. One of the, one of the things that happens when you harvest the female segment is you start to get a highly skewed bull to cow ratio. You have a lot of bulls on the landscape, and so we put some spike tags out there to try and help reduce the spike segment, try to without influencing the quality of the bull hunt. The bull hunt is running at 55% hunt success, and 73% of the animals being harvested have 6 points or better in very high quality hunt experience. So you know, depending on and the spike hunt has got about a 15% hunt success. So depending upon which hunt you choose to apply for, get drawn for, you can select what kind of an opportunity you can expect.
Great, thank you. Comments from the board? Questions?
So, Brian, with regard to public comment, are you guys looking for data from sportsmen just on what they're seeing in the field as far as areas and stuff? Or are you welcoming data from sportsmen with regard to like overcrowding in areas? I've had a lot of folks call me over the last couple of weeks with some, especially in some of the areas where we've had depredation hunts for cow elk, where they put them side by side along with mule deer hunts and the regular cow season, that sort of thing. So can you kind of expand on that a little bit?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. What we're seeking from members of the public and from the agency as well, or anybody who'd like to share ideas with us, is not so much data or identification of problems, although we welcome those. Probably the most prevalent comment that we've received to date is that hunter crowding is higher than in any other hunt during those elk hunts. What we're really looking for is what are acceptable solutions. And so what I'm somewhat fond of saying is if we want to look for a new time to schedule an elk hunt, you know, an elk hunt where you don't have an overlap with any other hunt or any other elk hunt, and by reducing hunter numbers, we might, without reducing season length, you know, we've got to find a new month to put it in. And the first thing we're going to have to do is have a contest to name that month, because the other 12 already have names. You know, there's just a lot of hunts, and one of the schematics that we show during the course of the season, course of the meetings, and it was not the schematic for the western or for the eastern hunts. It was the western hunts, and when you look at it, you know, with pronghorn hunts and deer hunts and all the other hunts that are fit in there, sheep hunts, it's virtually impossible to find a time between August 1st and January 1st where there isn't another hunt already ongoing. So what we really need to find are some innovative solutions. How can we accommodate the hunters that we need to reduce, you know, population size at some point, or how do we provide the opportunities that we're looking for whereby we can get people a chance to go in the field, get people a reasonable chance to harvest an animal, and still not make it an unpleasant experience. One of the things that we know, looking at data from hunters in Nevada, and this is very similar to what we've seen in other states, is that despite the fact that we spend an awful lot of time trying to get hunter recruitment and retention and reactivation, we're seeing the average age of Nevada hunters are increasing. So what can we do to remove the barriers? How can we make this more simple? How can we keep people in the game? Because for the bulk of the activities that the Nevada Department of Wildlife are engaged in, we are still reliant upon sportsmen's dollars to be able to do that. When we engage with wildlife services to get them to remove coyotes in an urban setting, it's still something that we have to use sportsmen's dollars to be able to do. And so it's important to keep conservation activities ongoing. I think I'm getting a little bit long-winded in my answer, but what we're trying to find a way is to help make hunting fun.
Mr. Yan?
Mr. Chairman, back in 2013, we kind of took up this subject at an earlier, at a CAB meeting regarding visitation by the public at our meetings. And I asked to get some statistical information about licenses issued to Carson City residents, hunting, fishing, combo licenses, and trapping licenses. Because we looked out into the audience and we'd see the same three or four people would come to the meetings regularly. When it became to season setting and quota setting, maybe we got a few more. But when you start looking at the numbers, we have less than a half a percent of the population in Carson City holding a hunting license. We have a little over 200 hunting licenses total. Fishing licenses around 1,400, 1,500. Combo licenses 300 to 400. Trapping licenses less than a dozen. So one of the things, you know, we want, our job is to take input from the public and bring it to the commission, to the department. We can't do that if nobody comes to our meetings. Now, as required by the NRS, we published the notice of our meetings in three or four places here in town. Anybody who wants to get on a mailing list and get a copy of the agenda, all they have to do is contact our secretary. They will be sent and provided with a copy of what's going to happen, what's on the agenda, and all the supporting material. I'm thinking maybe we need to do a little publicity and maybe put month, you know, every time we're going to have a meeting, there's a, in the appeal, there's a notice of all the meetings that are going on. Maybe we need to do that too. We might get people who don't even know we exist or what we stand for to come and give us comments from the public about, well, I don't like the idea of the deer running through my neighborhood, or I don't like the idea of you guys thinking about reducing the quantity of deer or what you're doing with coyotes and stuff. I mean, we have a couple of people who are outspoken about a lot of the issues, and I'm glad they come, because if they didn't come, we wouldn't, we'd sit here and it would be us to make all these decisions. But we need the input from, like, we got a handful of hunters and you know, this evening, which is great. You know, I love to see that. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're chartered to do. And I'm with you. I mean, we're looking for ways to improve our communication with the community. When we have an issue, we seem to get little notoriety because they say, you guys, it's your job. You're responsible. Well, okay. You know, we're the people who are set up to handle and to help with these types of programs. And I think our chairman is extremely active in publicity, in putting out information, and spending a lot of time working with the city and, you know, University Extension. And just, I mean, he's does a tremendous amount of time he puts into this thing to help get this information out. And we'd like to have some feedback. Are we doing the right thing? Are we touching the subjects that we need to touch upon? And that's why we're here. And you know, I think we're doing everything we know how, and if we can get maybe some help from the newspaper and other, you know, organizations maybe to spread the word to their members that, hey, if you've got an issue regarding wildlife, I don't care whether it's deer or bear or rabbits or coyotes, you know, go down there and stand up in front of that podium and let us know what you think. And that's why we're here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Which leads into what I was just going to say for all of us as well as the television, and that is our next meeting is January 25th, and the topic of that meeting is to adjust big game seasons and regulations as proposed by the department. And that would be the time for, if you have concerns, issues regarding our seasons, that would be the time to come to that. I do have one suggestion for you from my perspective. This is a private perspective. If you want to increase cow harvest without increasing numbers of hunters in the field, consider giving multiple cow tags to individuals. I hunt in Wyoming, and in areas where they need to reduce cow populations, they offer up to 3 cow tags to individuals. And they also make the price for non-residents very affordable. A cow tag for a non-resident in Wyoming is $288, and you can get 3 of them. So you have a very successful program called the DELC, and you have a very successful program regarding giving an elk tag to a deer hunter and also a cow tag to a bull hunter. So consider the opportunity of giving a cow hunter a second tag. That way you don't have more people in the field. Just a personal comment. Thank you. Back to the board on this particular issue. You can see what the department is trying to do. I don't see an action that we need to take right now unless one of you see an action item on this. Okay, seeing none, no action issues, I'm not going to open this one up to the public because we're not taking an action. Thank you very much. And one more comment. Yes, go ahead, Brian.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. What I wanted to mention is it's my intent within the next day to try, I've been trying to get all of the comments that we've received from the public pulled together, all the comments we've received from the agency pulled together. And it's my intent to share that with the CABs, with the commission, and with everybody that signed in and gave us an email address during the public meetings that we held. And so you will have that prior to the commission meeting. Unfortunately, with the timing, one of the challenges trying to get the information to all the CABs before the commission meeting, but at least you'll have a reference for what we're starting from.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for coming. Moving along, I'd like to move to item number 9. We all have a commission agenda, and this is for other than item 8, which is on the agenda, other than item 8, the remaining items on the attached 13-14-2015 Nevada Board of Wildlife Commissioners agenda typically require no action. None of them are regulatory in nature. Occasionally, one or more advisory board members may have a desire to discuss these items, and such discussions may result in an action in the form of advice or recommendation by the advisory board. So I open it up to the board. Anyone want to discuss any of the other items that are on the agenda?
So, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would desire, and given the fact that we have individuals here and some of the discussion that's ensued with regard to coyotes here in Nevada, I would ask that we discuss poll item number 6 for discussion. But I do want to reiterate that given time, I would suggest that we put a time limit on that discussion if we can, of maybe 3 minutes per individual, really just highlight the what you want the CAB board to know as far as your opinion and any data that you have, and that way we have the information we need to go to the commission with what sportsmen and anybody else is advocating us to go to the commission with.
So there was a request to pull item number six off of the department's or the commission's agenda, and that's what this is about, Member Yannick. So,
Mr. Chairman, the reason the CABs don't get any information about that particular item when there is a petition submitted is primarily because that decision is mainly up to the commission. Now, whether or not, you know, we provide input is why we're here. So, you know, we can do that. I think, excuse me. So that's the prerogative of any member of the board to pull something like that, and that's what the chairman asked for.
Correct.
But the decision about it rests totally with the commission.
Thank you. And for clarification again, any item that we pull is only for discussion here, and then any action that we potentially take is only an action to provide advice to the commission. So if we pull that item and discuss it, let's be clear that we're not acting on the petition, which we're not. All we're doing is discussing it and whether or not we want to take an action to give the commission our opinion about that particular action. Is that, that's my understanding.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Well, go ahead.
If I may, that is absolutely my intention. I feel that there's individuals here in this room that have an opinion one way or the other, in favor or for. That's not where our intention is. My intention of polling this is so that we have the input of our community to be able to give our recommendation as a CAB to the commission.
Great, thank you. And our attorney, do you have 2 cents to add to that?
I don't. You certainly have the discretion, whether it is a discussion item only or an item that you intend to take action on. On either one of those, you do have the discretion to take any public input that you want. You don't. Your agenda does indicate, in particular on this item, that if you intend to proceed with discussion only, it is not your, it is not the commission's intent to take public comment. But you can change that if you'd like to.
Great. Thank you very much. So there was a request to pull item number six. Is there a request to pull any of the other items that the department has on their agenda to discuss further? Seeing none, we don't need an action to approve anything. All we need to do now is have a discussion on item number six. The petition itself is online, and I did take the time before coming to the meeting to read the petition. I'm not going to go through what I read in the petition, but it's basically about requesting a regulation which, as it states here, prohibits wildlife killing contests involving mammals in the state of Nevada. So that's what the petition is about. I open it up to discussion in the board. Anyone want to discuss it further?
Mr. Chair, can I ask a clarifying question?
You certainly
said that
may.
The petition was online. Which online? Where?
The petition is on the Department of Wildlife, okay. Nevada Department of Wildlife's webpage. And if you go to their webpage, there's a section called Public Meetings. And if you go below public meetings, there's a tab that says commission. And inside the commission, they have meetings, and it's right there.
Okay, I'll just add the link to the minutes.
Okay. All right. Open it up for discussion. Okay. You know, if there's no discussion, then is there an action that the board would like to take regarding this petition of support, no support, or no action? I'm open to all of those.
So Mr. Chair, if I may, the reason I didn't comment on that is really I'm interested, since I'm going to be attending Friday when they're going to hear this, I'm interested in knowing what the public's opinion is on this. I think, I know what my opinion is on it, and I can say that I'm not in favor of it for a number of reasons. But I absolutely want to take into consideration the public's opinion on this and be able to relay that to the commission when we have that opportunity to do so.
To I understand you have a request to know what our public would like or what our public's issues are when you go to that meeting. But are you going to want, I would personally like for our board to tell the commission whether we support that petition or not. That's what I would like to do, but I'm not hearing that anybody here has an interest in that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think I have an opinion. It's my personal opinion because I see what seems to have worked in the past. I see some of the problems we talked about this evening with coyotes here in Carson City and what the ultimate solution turned out to be. I think there are additional steps that the city could and should take to reduce the potential problem, and I don't mind espousing those, you know, publicly at all. My personal feelings regarding what happened, the publicity that these coyote hunts got in certain sectors, I think made it a public issue that normally if it hadn't been so blatantly advertised or the way it was put out, you know, might have been offensive to some people, but when you start looking at other parts of the country that have significant problems with coyotes attacking, you know, cattle, sheep, other livestock issues, and the money that, you know, various wildlife agencies and the government spends trying to control the coyote population because of some of the damage that it does when it gets out of control. I think coyotes are a necessary part of the balance of nature. They do serve a purpose. We've heard several people talk about when they lived in rural parts of the state, if the coyotes were not maintained at some level, it's detrimental. I saw last year when we had those coyotes that I talked about, plus two or three more that you would see very frequently, I noticed, boy, I didn't have any rabbit problems at all. I mean, I was glad, you know. I was a little frightened early in the morning when I took walks and I saw the couple of coyotes running, you know, off to the side. Yeah, it kind of raised the hair on the back of my neck. I adequately protected myself when I'd leave that early in the morning or the evening so that, you know, I wasn't going to become a victim and neither were my pets. We have a no discharge law here in Carson. but if your life is in danger, you know, we also have a stand your ground law. So I don't know if that applies to coyotes. I've never seen it tested. But if I saw a coyote coming at me and he was bound and intent to get my dog, would I be within my rights to, you know, to shoot that one? I don't know. I didn't want to be a test case. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I see nothing wrong with the coyote contest. I've been to parts of the Midwest where, you know, gophers are fair game. I mean, the people get out there with all kinds of exotic weapons and knock off hundreds and hundreds of gophers. And the farmers love it because, you know, you get a steer that steps in a big gopher hole and breaks a leg, you lost an awful lot of money. So there's two sides to every equation. I think that, you know, coyote hunting within reason and controlled, it serves a purpose. But at the same time, I don't think we should, you know, denude the countryside of coyotes just for the sake of getting rid of every coyote. Because once we get rid of the coyotes, then people will start saying, what are you going to do about all the rodents that aren't being taken care of? So there's about nature had a balance. We got to bring it back into balance. Whether or not a coyote culling contest is the way to do it, it's a means. Is it the best means? I'm not intelligent enough, and I don't have enough information to tell you. If I had a vote on something like that, I'd say it's okay. I really do. And that's my personal feeling. And
okay. Well, let me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Based on your request, I would like to open this up to the public and get opinions from the public here. I'd like to get opinions on this petition from the public, so that we can bring it back here and have a discussion. And I'd like to have some input from all of you regarding the commission's, the petition that went before the commission requesting a regulation which prohibits wildlife killing contests involving mammals. That's the issue. So with that,
can I just request one thing, Mr. Again, can we just, given the sake of time here, and I know everybody has families to go home to, can we limit that time? I'd really like to hear everybody's input, but can we stipulate to limit, you know, to where you guys just bring just the main concerns that you have and what your opinions are, streamline them. Let's not have 20-minute conversations on it if we can. That would be my suggestion.
I appreciate that, Mr. Attorney. Any problem with setting a 3-minute limit on this topic?
No, 3 minutes is a typical limit that is imposed. I will warn the commission that 3 minutes has to apply to everybody, and so I'll keep the time if it pleases the commission, and I'll just let you know when the 3 minutes has expired, and that has to end that person's public
comment. I appreciate that. Great, we have a timekeeper. Okay.
I have to do something.
Now, would we be able to ask them questions? And then would that be part of the 3 minutes?
That is typically included within their 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other board issues, questions?
Keep in mind when we're not in the public.
Okay, all right. I'd like to open it up to the public on that particular item, whether or not what the public's thoughts are regarding a petition that prohibits wildlife killing contests involving mammals.
Jim White, and I'm not a varmint hunter. I haven't participated in any kind of contest or anything like that, but I'm definitely not opposed to it. Think of these, the gentleman from the Parks Department probably paid, I'm sure those guys didn't come out and do it for free. I could be wrong, but the money that cost in controlling it, you have these sportsmen that are going to, they're going to go out and do that on their own without any cost to the taxpayers or citizens. But I'm not opposed to it. It seemed to be a good means for these people using the lethal you know, to get rid of the problem coyotes. But my vote is I'm not opposed to any type of contest for shooting of mammals.
Great. Thank you for your comment. Any questions?
I think I'm good.
Okay. Thank you very much. Other public comment on this? State your name, please, sir.
Paul White. And I'm not opposed to it at all. I personally think it's a great idea. Once again, I'm not a varmint hunter. I haven't done it really at all. But I think it's a great idea, especially with the increasing populations of the coyotes, and especially with a lot of the varmints and the small game coming into town with the coyotes eating them and coyotes getting the dogs. I think it's a great idea, personally.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? No? Okay. Any other public comment? State your name again, please, sir.
Ray Swanson. I'm not opposed to the public contest for shooting. I think they're a great way to control a coyote population. Is noted here tonight, the coyote population has come up in our area, and it's due to the lack of hunters in our area. So bringing in people from outside areas or outside counties to help control that would be a bonus for us as a community, because it's not costing us anything. We're not having to bring out outside agencies to take care of the problem for us.
Any questions? No? Thank you. Thank you, sir. Other public comment?
For the record, Fred Volz, I'll make it very brief. Since I'm one of the petitioners, I wanted to go on the official record that I obviously support the petition. I think it does a couple of things. It actually shows some respect for wildlife rather than having somebody going out without any limitations and killing as much as it can in as short a period of time as possible. Having such contests is a violation of the North American model of wildlife conservation. And finally, there is no science that supports that this is a sound management practice in any way, shape, or form. Thank you.
Mr. Volk,
please, Mr. Zuber. Yes.
So you agree with everything that is submitted in here? And just so you know, what I have in front of me is there's a letter, a cover letter,
yes,
a petition, and then apparently an attachment that addressed things that were put on the petition form.
Yes, correct.
As well as two letters from the Coyote Project?
Yes.
You agree with everything in that?
I do, since I put my name on the petition.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
For the record.
Okay. Why do you think that there has to be scientific evidence that proves this is a good thing to do?
Well, we hear the commission and all the folks who are involved with it state repeatedly that they use science-based methods for coexisting, managing, however you want to state it, with wildlife. And there is no science having a pile of coyotes that are never going to be used for any purpose such as food or clothing stacked up on the side of the road. So that is not science. I think that we could all agree to that no matter what our perspectives are.
I guess maybe you didn't understand my question. Why is science the end-all to all of our answers?
Well, because we've been told that politics and particular opinions of whatever side somebody is on this issue are not relevant to the discussion, that we're supposed to be science and fact-based, not driven by politics.
Well, our society ignores science all the time, though.
Well, but
and that's the way our society runs. That's why we have a political process as well.
That may be. So, but the point is the commission has constantly said that it used science-based information and data. That's why we have 242 people in the wildlife department, many of them biologists, and they're supposed to be conducting studies and coming up with population estimates and figuring out, based on the land, what that land can sustain for the various wildlife species. So they're saying repeatedly that they use science, and we're saying there is no science to this.
It is just basically wanton slaughter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Other comments, please? State your name again for the record.
Jim Davis. And along with the science, I think people know that the biggest killer of wildlife is loss of habitat, but we keep building our cities, and that's all science-based. Nobody wants to give up their home. And the bottom line is these coyotes are going to continue. They've been trying to eradicate coyotes for years, and this is just a way of controlling them. And just like the other gentleman said, it's a cost-effective way. Instead of paying someone to do it, these guys are willing to go out and control the populations of the coyotes, and we've trying to people have been trying to eradicate them for years. They haven't been able to, and they're not going to be able to eradicate them with a few coyote calling contests. Coyotes have been here forever. They're going to be here forever. Thank you.
Okay. There you go, Mr. Beamer. There is your comments in a very abbreviated system. Bringing back into the board here, any discussion, anything we want to take to the commission on this?
Mr. Chairman, I know we've heard from the public. It seemed to me to express an opinion that the majority of the public that came up and talked about the subject was opposed to the petition, saying that these contests and hunting of mammals like via contest should be curtailed and not permitted. But I heard for the five people talking were in favor of having contests for fine. So if we're supposed to bring forward what the community feels, then I think we'd have to go back to the commission and tell them that the Carson City County supports coyote type of culling contests. And I'd like to make a motion that the Carson City Advisory Board present that information to the commission.
We have a motion. Is there a second on that?
I second that.
Owl.
Thank you. Other discussion on that particular issue?
So if I may, Mr. Chair, my feeling is that given the testimony that's been given here today, you know, and in reviewing all of the documentation that was provided in the petition, I also, it's my opinion that the science-based determination that we're trying to attain here wasn't clearly presented in the or fairly presented in the petition as well. And I think it's my opinion that there's a reason why the Department of Wildlife has not ever put any kind of regulation on coyotes. It's not that they haven't done the research to see here in our state, which is different than any other state, different than Colorado and all these other states that are implementing regulations. Our topography, our population is different. And so my feeling is that, you know, I trust in the fact that the Department of Wildlife would introduce a regulation if they felt that was needed. In all of the conversations I've had with sportsmen here in our community over the last 2 weeks since I've had this information, I have yet to have one person tell me that they are in favor of this petition. So I'll throw that out to the board. And I appreciate everyone's public comment, and that's the reason why I wanted to hold off to give my opinion until people from the comment or from the public were able to speak. And so I feel good about it.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Paul.
Thank you. I would almost ditto that, but I'm going to say, put it in this format. Nine people called me when they saw an article in the paper regarding the petition. Nine people that live in Carson City that said that they couldn't make this meeting, but they were they could not support the petition. I'm here because I'm supposed to represent those people, and based on what I've heard tonight and those other comments from other sportsmen, and that leads me to say that I could not support the petition.
Great, thank you. I have a question for our attorney. Typically, at this particular point, before I call a motion, I call for a public comment, but we've already had public comment. Is that sufficient?
That's sufficient.
Thank you very much. Other comment on the board? I'd like to call for the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And I will also say aye. None opposed. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Item number 10, discussion regarding advisory board members to commitments for the January 29-30 meeting. Our next meeting is January 25th. I'm wondering at this particular time if any members are interested in attending the meeting in Las Vegas.
Maybe.
Maybe.
If nobody else goes, I'll try to go.
Okay. We don't have to have an action at this particular time, but we will have to before the meeting comes up. Our next next meeting, as I just stated, is January 25th. Just an informational item, number 11. Item number 12, future agenda items. This was a rather packed agenda, even though they only had three items on it. It took quite a while. Any of you see any item we'd like to talk about right now for our January meeting?
I'd like to continue. Mr. Chairman, I think it'd be nice to be able to continue with any input updates that we come across with regards to either, you know, collecting data to support the, you know, talk about the deer herd, the size of the deer herd, getting the public involved. I think it should be one of those items that we really need to gather input from the public and get their support, because obviously the department can't do it by themselves and we can't do it by ourselves, and maybe come up with, you know, that we had some suggestions from the public this evening about how to obtain some data on the size of the deer herd. And maybe working with the department, we could come up with some means of coming up with a, you know, do we have 250? Do we have 450? Or do we have 850? I mean, that it could go from one end to the other. We know basically where they're located, the majority of them anyway. And I think we need to get help trying to collect any information that would lead to some direction that we should go in. I mean, do we talk about the problem? We've talked about, you know, how to make it less hospitable for the deer, and but telling people they have to completely revamp their landscaping, they're going to look at us and say, sure. I like lilacs. I like roses. I like petunias. I mean, and so do the deer. And therein lies the problem.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that, and we can. I'll work on. We have as a reoccurring item number six, which is update on the urban mule deer educational program. And I'll work something in there on collecting data. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I should have, would have got a hold of Scott when he was here and asked him what the status of that. the grant money that they're trying to obtain for the rifle range.
Right.
I'd like to see that on there again and see what the status is. And then a parting comment on the census of the deer. We're not going to get an exact census. I mean, you could, somebody told me, well, shoot them with paintballs and you know which one's which, but that's going to create an issue, right? But the birders do an interesting thing once a year in January, and they saturate northern Nevada with people who just go out into segments and count the number of birds that are there. So two things here. If we want to get kind of an unofficial survey, we need to do it on a single day and have people in their blocks. We got a GIS system here. We can split the town into GIS things, see how many players we get. Go out and count the ones in your neighborhood and tell us. The other thing is, interestingly enough, I used this on an emergency services exercise 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, and we used a drone. We flew a very inexpensive drone with a GoPro and a camera on it through the hazmat exercise we were doing, and it gave an amazing perspective. Now, I'm not saying that we should run out and harass the wildlife with drones because that's already happening, but that's a tool that's inexpensive that could give you a perspective of 20 blocks in a 14-minute flight. So just a possible tool in the toolbox to help us get the census that we need to start taking some action on. Once we get the census, we could do it a couple of times a year. Obviously, the rut is a time of the year where they're paired up, but then maybe a fall and spring one. Just food for thought there. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate that. Okay. Any other items, agenda items? Great. Thank you. At this time, item number 13, public comment. The public is again invited at this time to comment on and discuss any matter that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Advisory Board to manage wildlife, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on a matter raised on this item of the agenda. Public comment.
For the record, Fred Volz, now that the commission has implemented video conferencing, it seems redundant and a waste of public money to be spending on travel to go down to the meeting location when whoever's going to represent this body could go to Reno at much less expense on a day trip. So I would like to encourage, when you're finally figuring out who is going to actually attend in January, that be a consideration. And secondly, in many of the comments tonight on many of the items, there's been repeated statements by the five of you that you've talked to other sportsmen, as they call themselves. And since you're supposed to be representing the whole community here in Carson City, it seems incumbent upon you to go and actually have conversations with people who don't share the sportsman's perspective on the universe. So I would encourage you in carrying out your duties that you have those conversations. Thank you.
Other public comment? Seeing none, item number 14, I'll consider an action to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.